Greetings, citizens of Earth. You are barking a happy tune with my pal Smurf of Smurf and the Magic Tones on 5280 Geek.
Live from the Figgis Studios, it is Weekend Geek Update. Smurf here, ready to do another deep dive in what's catching my eye this week in the Geekverse. We are sponsored by none other than the great Susie Q. She's infamous. She's infamous across the nation, around the globe, as one of the hardest working jewelry makers you will ever find, see, and the skill is unmatched by those anywhere in this galaxy. I would know, because I've been there. Yeah, something like that. Anyway, go to SusieQs.com, who is our sponsor. She makes some amazing jewelry that you will be proud to wear, proud to give, and proud to just, know. Just say, yeah, I know. I bought that. That's mine. Go to SusieQs.com, her Instagram, and her Facebook, all under Susie Q's. There's a link in the podcast. If you don't want to type and you just want to click on it, take you to all the necessary destinations you need to go to pick up something rather stunning. Mother's Day is around the corner, so if you're struggling like me of what to get your mom, there you go. There's an idea. Something unique. Something special. Not to like quote a Halesburg commercial or anything like that, but you know, you get the idea. Anyway, what is going on? That is an excellent question, because there's a lot kind of running around in the Geekverse, and there's stuff I want to talk about, but there's stuff I want to save for the bigger podcast that we do later in the week with PJ and Wakeman. So these are just kind of some of the narrow view stories, if you will. Something that's caught my eye, my take on a few things that have gone on. Of course, my favorite show wrapped up Hell's Kitchen. My man, Gordon Ramsay. I don't know if he picked the right one on this one for Hell's Kitchen. I'm not disappointed, but I am. I was rooting on Big D. I knew Declan should be in there. I think it was a sham. I think it was rigged. I think Declan got the wrong end, man. What the hell? Come on. Give Big D a shot, but I don't know if I would be happy with Declan in the kitchen. He's a big dude, and he's a sweaty dude. I don't want a sweaty dude over my food. Just call me old fashioned. I mean, yes, you can't trust a skinny chef. I understand that, but damn, that boy is just a big sweaty mess. But he made it to the top three, which is good. And Red informed me that he's actually been on Guy's Grocery Games a couple of times. So I was like, all right, so Declan's got some skills. He should be there. But alas, it came down to the two females. I think it's like a run, like for the last, I don't know, 5-6 years or so, that it's always been a woman that has won the final round and has won the whole thing, which is fine. It's just kind of one of those, okay, interesting. One of those interesting little facts. But I was sad. I am excited about, because they showed the trailer for the next season of Hell's Kitchen, which I don't know if Gordon Ramsay really knew what he was getting into, but it looks like it's just going to be a bunch of 20-somethings, a bunch of millennials coming in that I don't know. I mean, there's a certain level of appreciation for cooking and understanding palates and taste profiles and everything that goes into cooking. And I do it like therapeutic, and of course there's the other side of it that we're, we hold classes and everything for online that I've done with Tuan and all of that. So it's interesting, but I don't know if I can trust someone who hasn't, been exposed to a lot of food or hasn't cooked a lot. So I think this is a recipe for just a disaster. And from everything that I've seen of the trailer, nobody's listening to Gordon. Like, nobody. And you just can't do that. You cannot not listen to Gordon. I mean, it's just silly. That's, like hiring someone to consult you and then just not listening to them. Say, no, I don't like your idea. What? No, that's what I'm here for. I'm telling you what to do because that's what you're paying me to do. Because this is the best idea. So what this all entails, excellent question. And they're still in Vegas, a bunch of 20-somethings in Vegas. I can't wait to just see how this all turns out. So we'll see. I'll keep you up to date. But congratulations to, no spoilers, the chef that won, Hell's Kitchen. They're going to Lake Tahoe's resort, so which is a fun little town. I mean, it's a great resort. If I ever start traveling again, maybe I'll make it by Lake Tahoe and go check it out. I know a friend of mine was actually in Gordon Ramsay's Steakhouse not that long ago in Vegas, and a little jealous, just a bit. Wanted to be there, but you can't go wrong with bourbon and meat. Yummy. Anyway, what else is going on? So the two big things, of course, that I can't not talk about. One, of course, is the Winter Soldier and the Falcon. Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I know I've been making fun of it. Falcon and the Snowman. You know, just everything but the title. But I have to say, at the end, it earned my respect. I have to say they did much better than I thought. And what came out of this series was way more involving and intense than I thought it was going to be. Because I'm not a fan of either character. So when you're sitting there and you're kind of like, okay, what's my buy-in? Why am I watching this? Why do I care? Because both characters are interesting, but not interesting enough for me that, you know, I've ever really purchased their comics. And I like the idea of Sam and the journey that we see for him through the entire show. But there seems like there's things left out, that there's this weird progression, especially between, like, the final episode and the one before it. There's, like, this gap of, like, you know, the montage that we get of Sam training, you know, 80s style. And it's just like, okay, I don't think that's nearly enough time to master a shield and develop an entirely different fighting skill than what you had to begin with. I'm just not impressed with Sam as Captain America. I mean, he's way better than U.S. Agent. Don't get me wrong. But he's not the greatest fighter. I mean, you kind of watch him and he's struggling when he shouldn't be. He's got the Wakanda gear, he's got wings, he's got jets, he's got two Redbird drones, and he's got Cap Shield. Come on, this guy should be just wrecking people a lot more than what he is. And maybe it's a confidence thing, I get that, I know he's a normal person, he doesn't have the super soldier serum, but Batroc should not have given him that much of a hard time at the end of the series. My personal opinion, he's kind of a B-leaguer. I mean, yeah, okay, he's decent. And, you know, his fight with Cap in Winter Soldier was interesting. But, you know, it went as quickly as it should have. So Sam not being Cap, or is Cap, however you want to approach that, should not have struggled as much. Just saying. I don't know. But the Winter Soldier, I think he really didn't progress a whole lot. He's still kind of a miserable curmudgeon, and he's kind of realizing, you know, his mistakes, and he's moving forward. He's, you know, he's intriguing enough to me that I do want more. I don't think they did nearly enough with his character to kind of see what could happen with him and how he's grown and progressed and is trying to get out of Captain America's shadow. And let's face it, that's kind of the quest for both of these guys. Neither one is wanting to take the mantle. Neither one is wanting to be Captain America. But they're doing it out of, you know, the sense of obligation and duty to a higher purpose, a higher calling. And that's admirable. And it's great. And the messages that come through this series are poignant. It is something that it makes you think, especially with what's gone on in the press, what's going on in the world, and just the I wouldn't say hostilities, but there's definitely kind of that edge that everyone's carrying. So I think this addresses it nicely. It does an interesting approach to the whole setting. So I do applaud them taking that portion of it on. But the what comes out of it is the bigger question and sets the stage for so much more. Now, I know they're saying that these series that are on Disney Plus are not a needed watch. They're not absolutely crucial for the films moving forward, but I do have a feeling that they will play some kind of role in developing further stories that go along. Because what we see at the end of this with Baron Zemo and the Raft, and there's so much more that I think we could see. Because my guess, my money, is on us getting the Thunderbolts. And I keep saying that, and I just have a strong, strong feeling. And even though he was not mentioned, General Ross is there at the Raft. And if you're a Hulk fan, you know the Red Hulk is General Ross. I know, it's a horrible choice for the Red Hulk. So pissed when they revealed that in the comic, because I just like not knowing who the Red Hulk was. I thought that was like the best thing. And then it's just Ross, and then you're just like, oh, well, that sucks. That's not nearly as cool as, you know, this calculating, fiendish guy that just got, you know, in the wrong place at the wrong time. So, and was kind of, you know, beholden onto somebody. But the stage is set. Zemo is in the Raft. Wakanda did not kill him, which I am very surprised. And I'm surprised he's not in Wakanda now, just serving out, you know, some kind of sentence, doing, you know, manual labor or whatever, you know, mining for vibranium or whatever they do there for their prisoners. I'm surprised he's not there. But to end up in the Raft is definitely an interesting twist, and I think it does set the stage for the Thunderbolts. That is my guess. That is my prediction. The other side is, and there's a ton of fan theories coming out on the other teams, because of course Secret Avengers is one of the things with Doctor Strange and that component with the U.S. soldier or U.S. agent. There is the thought that we may see the Dark Avengers. There's also West Coast Avengers. I think there should be just like the Broken Avengers, you know, just a bunch of heroes that just can't get it together, and they're just broken. That's all it's to it. But my money, if I'm a betting man, my money is we're going to see the Dark Avengers, and U.S. Agent plays perfectly into that, especially with Lady Hydra. And Julia Louis-Dreyfus playing that role, I can see us getting more of that. So maybe Dark Avengers versus Thunderbolts, which would be very interesting. I'm curious to see how that would play out, why Zemo would be on the other side, unless it's just, you know, Zemo's absolute contempt for the Super Soldier program. And Hydra's attempts to do whatever. I don't know. I'd be very curious to see how they play all of that off. It could be fun. But that's my guess. That is my best guess as far as what we see. Because they did announce, and it was quick, Feige is just on the ball when it comes to this greater architect system that he's got in place, and things are in motion, because they've already announced that Falcon and Captain America 2 will be has been greenlit, and it's a continuation, I guess, of this story. Any man's guess as far as how many and where we will see this again on Disney Plus, but Feige has already said it's a go, it's going to happen. Even social media, Sam has now replaced Steve Rogers as Captain America. I do like Falcon's costume. I really do appreciate that they took the time and the interest to do the detail. Alex Ross's version of Sam in his Captain America suit, it looks spectacular. Ross's paintings and all that, if you haven't seen it, there is a comparison online for sure. I can go find it and show it to you, but that'll take some time. And I don't have that kind of time. But if you look at Alex Ross's painting of Sam in his Captain America suit, it's impressive. They really took the time, and I appreciate that. I think Winter Soldier's representation in the series is great. It's spectacular. Even Zemo actually, if I'm going to put a cap on who my favorite character was, absolutely Zemo. I think he stole the show. He stole the scenes he was in. And I think that was by design. I think they wanted to show just exactly how not only charismatic, but just how much of an impact he has by just being in the room and just how he operates. Even when he was in the bar dancing, I mean, it was the most ridiculous thing when they're sitting in the Brass Monkey and he's just kind of sitting there doing his little shimmy. I mean, I don't even know what else to call it, but just like this weird little kind of shake. It was great. I loved it. I loved even the memes of it coming out. It's almost as impressive as the Travolta Pulp Fiction, you know, memes that we've seen. Just, you know, Baron Zemo out there getting his groove on. How Baron Zemo got his groove back. It was great. So what do we expect to come up? I don't think we will see as big a play in the Secret Invasion with this team as people had initially thought. And it does put to rest what, if any of these characters were Skrulls. I don't think anyone would be a Skrull. And I don't want to give away the final scene because, no spoilers, I hate that, and I know everyone else does, but I think there's more to what we're seeing this, and I think the Power Broker has been in position way longer than anyone is giving that character credit, and I'm excited to see that develop. But I don't think any of that is going to come through for Secret Invasion. I think that's going to be its own animal, its own characters. So we'll see how it plays out. Overall, I'm pleased. I'm happy with how it turned out. I think they did the fans a great service. I think what we got was better than I thought it was going to. It's good. It's not great. There are some holes. There are some things, and I'm sure as more and more people watch the series and they kind of settle down with it and, you know, have a chance to kind of disseminate everything that's come through, there'll probably be more people on my side that there's just some weird holes. There's just some inconsistencies, and it's fine. It really is. Given what we got out of it, I'm just happy that we've got Marvel series. I'm ecstatic about that. So speaking of Marvel series, there are some rumors, and this hasn't changed, but I'm very now kind of amped up about it because I'm seeing more and more about it, especially when they're talking Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Punisher, and Kingpin. All of those characters that were part of the Netflix series are now eligible and able to move on, and Disney has expressed interest in keeping them on as those characters, because I think Charlie Cox's Daredevil was absolutely spectacular, and Punisher, Jessica Jones, absolutely perfect. I mean, the roles and how they portrayed the characters are spectacular, and I can't think of a better Kingpin, and I really think is crazy as he was in that show. I would love to see that just kind of unleashed a little bit further into the, you know, the Marvel U. So we'll see if any of those rumors do come about. I don't know. Like I said, these are all rumors. There's nothing concrete or solid in any of these guesses. So yeah, take what you will from that. Oh, this morning, which reminds me about taking what you will. Tales of Arcadia, the Trollhunter series, landed their trailer for their final installment that will be landing in June. We did post a copy of the trailer up on the Facebook page, so go check it out. I love this series. Del Toro did an absolute brilliant job of just bringing these characters, these worlds to life, and how they intermingled and interlaced. And I had no idea that, you know, Three Below would get in there, and it's just so good. I'm going to be sad to see it go, but it is kind of like my little summer indulgence. I'm glad to see that it is coming back in June. So if you haven't watched the trailer, if you haven't even watched the series, you're missing out. I would recommend huge, huge respect for the animators, for the story. I mean, Del Toro is so on point with this. Go check it out. If you haven't watched them in the past, they're an easy sit and watch, easy binge for a weekend. So go check it out if you have not already. I think you'll dig it. What else? Let's look at some local news, shall we? Some stuff that's gone on. Of course, there are more names and guests being added to the All Seas All Fan Expo that is free coming up in June. So going to be worth it. Finally get a con, and it's free. Can't beat free. Also, this is kind of cool because I go way back with this particular creative. The powerhouse that is Monty Michael Moore has so many irons in the fire. He's doing so many projects, and he's absolutely skilled in everything that he does. He brought to my attention the Kickstarter that he's doing for his... It's amazing what this guy comes up with, to be honest with you. It's a supernatural Western series. There's 10 days left to go on the Kickstarter, and has been received with a lot of fan hype, and everyone's excited to see it. It's called Blood and Bullets, and it's written and created, of course, by Monty. And if you probably are not sure who Monty is, because that would just be ridiculous, right? The man is ridiculously talented. He's done a lot of, like, Western paintings and sketches, and his style is so unique, and it stands out above all else. He's also been highlighted? He's had articles written about him in motorcycle magazines. He's actually even done painting on tanks for motorcycles. I know he did the pinup, and I've talked about that before, pinup painting on the nose of a B-1 bomber. So there's really nothing Monty can't do, and he wanted to let me know about this. We will have Monty on in May. As a guest. So him and I were talking about that to see, you know, how our schedules will line up, because he's a busy, busy guy. When he's not, you know, touring around doing cons and paintings, he's also, you know, doing projects. He's got his own agenda in addition to commissions and projects that he's hired on for, because he is absolutely talented in anything he does. I love his stuff. He's even done Star Wars cards. So there, and I think he did a couple Magic cards. So like I said, Monty's into everything. So the rundown on Blood and Bullets, and this is read directly off of the Kickstarter page. The Blood and Bullets project has been on trial for quite a few years now, and its stage has finally arrived in the form of issue 1 as a 48-page graphic novel. The first in 2-part story, and I started writing the screenplay back in 2008 and had some immediate interest from Hollywood producers, and one horror project was actually rushed into production. Blood and Bullets, aka B&B, fucking clever, was the third screenplay I wrote and was the second in the supernatural Western genre. But unlike my previous scripts, which has more male-dominated roles, I wanted the B&B story to focus on strong and charismatic female characters, which were not often seen in so many of the Western stories of the past. The B&B screenplay has been optioned 3 times in the past by Hollywood producers, and I hope after this project is published, it will once again be sought after property. So I love his Monty's approach to Western. I love his Lee Van Cleef that he does, because it's spot on. You would think it's a fucking picture of Lee Van Cleef, you know, from the Man with No Name series. In fact, the other night, I was on a Western kick. The Yellow Tomahawk, which is from the 50s, Lee Van Cleef played an Indian. So, old black and white film, and I just couldn't help but just laugh. I'm like, that's Lee Van Cleef, and he's an Indian. What the hell? So it's just kind of funny where Lee Van Cleef shows up. But he's not like one of my favorite Western icons from back in the day, also with Nobody Knows Your Name, which is another favorite Western series of mine. But That's a story for another time. We're talking about Blood and Bullets. Please go. I'll put the link to the Kickstarter in the post. I want you guys, if you can, please go donate. Help support local artists, because Monty is here in town in Colorado. And I know a lot of people listen to us outside of Colorado. I know that we're actually around the globe, and I thank you for everyone in Singapore and Belgium, and I even saw someone in Australia was listening to us. So thank you, one and all, for listening to us. Support some independent artists, some amazing talents that are out there that are, you know, struggling just like anybody else. Give them a little love, give them a little support, and see a project come to life that I think everyone can kind of get behind and get into. So like I said, the link is in the description. By all means, please go. And we'll have Monty on in May as soon as we get the particulars ironed out for the schedule and having him come by the studio. So it'll be great. There you go. What else this week? The HorrorCon will be announcing a guest that we are sponsoring. We are actually sponsoring a guest for this year's Colorado Festival of Horror, which will be in September. That announcement will be coming shortly. I'm excited to have him as a guest at the 5280 table. While we're busy doing other things, Red will be there to keep an eye on them and to entertain them, because Red as well will be at the con right next to our special guest, our surprise guest. If you haven't clicked on or following Colorado Festival of Horror, please do, because again, that con is coming up quickly. There will be more guests announced shortly, so I'm really excited to get this going. I'm very anxious, and in fact, Thursday there will be a trip that we're making to the horror bar that I spoke about last week. We're going to go check it out. We're going to see what the hype is. I know a couple of fellow Ghostbusters have been in the bar, so I'm going to go check it out. I haven't decided if I'm going to wear Ghostbuster gear as well, or just kind of take it, you know, on the low, little, just get in there and check it out, see what happens. Yeah, you know, that's that sort of thing. What else? So that's kind of it right now for the local scene. We'll keep you apprised of other stuff that's coming up, because there are some special projects that we've been working on that will be unveiled very soon. Very soon. Can't wait. My final take this week, of course, I would be very remiss if I didn't talk about this. And I know, again, no spoilers, and I promise, I try, that we won't divulge anything too revealing, but the Mortal Kombat film landed, and I don't know how I feel, to be honest with you. And that's me being generous. Because I'm sure we'll see a meat and potatoes review on this. Doc is working on it, I know, so we'll wait to see what comes out of the review for Meat and Potatoes this week. But I don't know what I feel. And then let me explain. Because I remember the original Mortal Kombat. Now, granted, it's not the best transfer from video game to film that we've ever seen, but there have been worse attempts and, like, disastrous outcomes from other projects. But Mortal Kombat still kind of held true to the fundamentals of the game, the first one. Now, granted, it was kind of a lesser rating. They didn't probably go as bloody and as gruesome as they wanted to based on the game's graphics and, you know, the fatalities that you saw, you know, on the reoccurring anytime you played the game if you knew how to do the move and when. But the characters, the story, even Raiden, who was played by Christopher Lambert, was awesome. I just liked how salty Christopher Lambert was. I really wish they could have gotten him to come back. Even if it's just like a snippet, or even if they would have had him come back as Raiden, which I know is impossible, but a guy can dream, can't he? I mean, I know we're no going back to the Highlander days, but come on. It was so much fun. That said, there's a stark comparison. And let me explain. The new Mortal Kombat, for all intents and purposes, is decent, okay? It's not horrible. It's not something that you can automatically just write off and like, all right, another failed attempt. It's decent. There is potential, and I like to say that word a lot because, you know, there's always potential. It's just whether or not people can see it, capitalize on it, and deliver it in a manner that people are open to or that can appreciate it. Because when you get to the new Mortal Kombat and the characters, the first half hour, 45 minutes is reasonably good. Yes, and that pause was for dramatic effect. It's reasonably good. I really enjoyed it. Although, and I wish we would have gotten more of certain elements, and I'll talk about that in a sec, because what we see in those opening moments, and as the story expands a little bit, we really get kind of engrossed in what Mortal Kombat is, and the choreography for the fight scenes and everything that they put on that screen, absolutely just amazing. I mean, it really is just holy crap. I dug it. I really did. And it did make me kind of start thinking about the old Mortal Kombat. And I started comparing the two. Now, where the new Mortal Kombat succeeds, beats out the original, it fails where the original did not, because right about the halfway point, there is just it's like a sudden e-break, and we get this, like, I don't know, it's not even a montage, it's kind of a half-hearted attempt to progress the story and just cram as much in and bright it up, to quote Red, when they really didn't need to. It's kind of a simple premise. There's really not a whole lot to explain that they can't, that they really haven't already. You kind of can figure it out. And then it just is just big, huge nonsense that is just piled in for story just as filler. And we get kind of, I mean, the hero of the story, I'm not impressed. I really am not. I didn't care for his character. I thought it was lame. We in the game already have one of Scorpion's descendants that are in the game, so why wouldn't they just use them instead of creating this character? And from my understanding, and I stopped playing Mortal Kombat ages ago. I mean, I know some people that are still dedicated to the lore, and they're, you know, hardcore fans, and they're you know, like Power Ranger fans. They're in it to win it. I get it. It's fine. Everyone's got their thing. But trying to figure out who some of this character was driving me batty. And I guess he's an amalgamation of a few different characters put together, but it was lame. I mean, even the attempt of his costume and everything just looked like a sweatshirt vacuum sealed to him. It really wasn't, I don't want to say wasn't impressive, but it just was kind of, I don't really know what else to kind of say for that. So as much as I liked it, there we start losing, you know, substance about halfway through. And it's just kind of one of those, well, okay. And I think the creators just didn't know how to finish telling the story because they felt like they didn't tell a story. Whereas in the original Mortal Kombat, it kind of just flowed through. Granted, the fighting scenes and everything else could have been a little bit more intense, and I did like a lot of the choices in actors back then. But, I mean, it just did kind of just carry it across. But it's so much to cram into, and which characters do you pull from, especially now after all of these years of Mortal Kombat being around. I mean, it's like 10 years now, at least. No, more than that, like 20 for Mortal Kombat. So, why? Yeah, like 90, what was it, 92 Mortal Kombat came out? But yeah, now you have all of these years, all of this history and lore to pack into a show and a movie. What do you pick? Who do you pick? And how do you get there? So I think what they did with the new one is ambitious and admirable, and I loved it. The fight scenes were great. The characters were fun, except for the main character, which I basically could have done without. And according to what people have said on the net, I'm not the only one with that kind of same thought. So it is what it is. But to see some of the characters that I recognize, especially like Kano and Liu Kang, which, you know, was great. The fatalities were spectacular. I was totally into it. The best scene, though, for me, and I'm sure everyone's going to agree on this, is the final fight scene between Sub-Zero and Scorpion. The story that they told of these two characters was perfect. I liked the intricacies and the competing edge between these two characters that, you know, sometimes we see in the game and how things have progressed, and to see it unfold on the screen and the story behind it was absolutely, I think, probably the best point of the film. Just to see that story arc executed so well was inspiring. That is the one good takeaway from this. And I, like I said, I wouldn't call this the best, you know, video game to movie possible out there, because, I mean, even Sonic was much more respectable than we thought it was going to be. But then that was the studio listening to the fans. So it is what it is in that regard, so I'm okay with that. But here's what I came down to at the end. After watching all of this, this was my takeaway. If I had to pay for this, if I had to go to the theater, plop down the money, and sit through it, I would have been pissed. But since it was on HBO Max, I did watch it that way. I won't lie. I know. I've been dying to go to a theater, and I did. And I'll tell you about that film in a sec. But if I had to pay for this film, I would be very cranky. I'd be very angry and disappointed. But it is worth an HBO Max viewing. Absolutely. Now, the film I did see this weekend that I paid for was Nobody. After Doc did the review on Meat and Potatoes of it, and I had to see it. I knew I had to see it anyway because of Odenkirk. My absolute love for that man is right up there with a lot of people, because he just delivers. And I couldn't imagine Better Call Saul without him. I loved him in Breaking Bad. He just has this quirk about him, and I dig it. And to see this film in the theater and pay for it, it was absolutely worth it. If I had to give a comparison between this and Mortal Kombat, I would give Nobody a thumbs up way before I would Mortal Kombat. I will pay again to go see Nobody, just because of that story. And I mean, it is perfect. It is John Wick with a comedic edge. It really is. And it's I can honestly see a video game of this. And it really did remind me a lot about, like, an old Kurt Russell film, Falling Down. And it was fun, enjoyable, and I didn't notice, you know, the time spent sitting in the theater watching it. So Mortal Kombat, I paused a couple times. Not going to lie. I had to get up, go get a snack, refill the glass, because that's what I had to do. It is what it is, though, folks. So that about covers it. We will be back later in the week with our video podcast with PJ Pop Culture and, of course, Wakeman. We've also got some other stuff coming that we've been working on, so please like, please share. Thank you for listening. Go to our YouTube page, 5280 Geek, and subscribe and click on those notifications. Like and share this, of course, with all your friends. We're just here to entertain and enlighten and have a little fun in the meanwhile. So that's just who we are. We're givers. In the meantime, run fast, laugh hard, and always be kind.